coming in.
Keep it locked right here. You are listening to MTMB Sports.
Out of adversity and trauma, challenges and hardship, from the streets of Kansas City, a shoe company was born. Birthed from the desire to serve others and provide high quality cleats and sneakers at an affordable price, we present to you Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle. Order now at OzellBrand.com.
What's good, everybody? It's your man, the myth, the legend, the voice. Bring you in a little bit different than normal. I know that it's the main card and that this is what people all around the globe have been waiting for, but just gonna open up a little bit different today. I am joined, as always, that's one thing, it's not different. I'm joined, as always, by my main man, my mano y mano, my verbal sparring partner, the man in the opposite corner, Iron Wilders Ruffin. What's going on, Ruff?
I'm copacetic, man. I'm chilling today, man. Just enjoying this new year, loving everything that's going on. It's a lot of stuff to cover today, so I'm excited, man. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I am cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
You say it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on in the world of MMA. And things have been crazy in 2023. Not so much going on fight-wise, but yeah, a lot of other stuff going on.
Definitely. But one thing I'm not going to do is we're not going to change. I'm going to give you a proper intro, you know, seeing how you got a t-shirt and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the man, the myth, the legend, the MTMV curator of combat sports. The voice, that's not his t-shirt. That's one of the t-shirts for MTMV, which you can purchase online. You saw yesterday me on Full 94. That's another t-shirt. So
yeah,
go grab you some merch, man, and grab your voice shirt. Voice, how you feeling, man?
Oh, like I said, I am cautiously optimistic about things. I don't know. It's just I was cautious coming into 2023. And personally, things have been okay. They've actually been pretty good. So the main thing is keep the main thing, which is the king and everything else. It is what it is.
There we go. We got a great show to get into. There's some people so far having a good year. There's some people not having a good year. KOs and low blows, we're going to get into it. So let's go ahead and start with our top story. Dana White. Everyone knows, unless you've been under a rock, Dana White has come under fire for domestic violence, along with the video that he was caught slapping his wife on tape. Now, there's been a lot over the last few days of companies and personalities calling for Dana White to be removed. One of those people is Jemele Hill. Now, Jemele Hill recently slammed ESPN, Stephen A. Smith, Molly Cram, and ESPN in general for the coverage of Dana White and how she feels as though there's a huge miss, a huge change in how they're dealing with Dana White in comparison to the coverage that was shown to Kyrie Irving. Now, on Thursday, ESPN editor Jeff Wagenheim, and he wrote, "We've been told not to write anything incendiary or on social media about Dana White's situation, and I understand why and have abided by that. I just ask that you all understand that some of us at ESPN do not have as soft a take as this on domestic violence." Now, he later clarified his statement by saying there was no edit from ESPN Boston revolving the White situation, but in regards in general, we are strongly discouraged from incendiary posts on social media with a business partner with things of that sensitive matter. Now, A UFC official told ESPN recently that the Power Slap League will now debut on January 18th on TBS rather than its initial scheduled launch, which was supposed to take place tomorrow, January 11th. Now, USC didn't offer any kind of further details behind it. Their Instagram post is just a promotional video of the Power Slap road to the title. A lot of people are unhappy about this. A lot of people feel like Dana should be removed, that the Power Slap League should not be going forward. But I wanted to get your thoughts on this, voice. So what do you think about that?
Well, you're right that a lot of people think that he should be removed. And I know we talked about this on last week as well. You talked about Jemele Hill, who called out former colleagues at ESPN. But she's not alone. The California State Legislature, the women of the California State Legislature, both Senate and House, sent something to Endeavor, I believe just today on the 10th of January, saying Dana White needs to go. They're trying to put pressure on Endeavor to make something happen. You talk about promoting the Power Slap League. Well, he promoted it on yesterday, Monday the 9th, and people went in the comments, as really they should. How can you promote a Power Slap League after you just got done pretty much power slapping your wife? What is it gonna, you're gonna have a show on there where there's a sanctioned rematch of y'all slapping each other? I mean, it is a bad look. I don't know who in power thinks, okay, well, I think we might be able to get away with this. And maybe that's just it. They're like, hey, let's try it, see what we can get away with. And if we can, great. And if not, because I'm sure there's a lot of money tied up in it, sponsors and things of that nature. And it would be a major blow, but sometimes you just have to take that hit in order to do the right thing. Like I said, people are coming out against it. And unfortunately, people are coming out in support of what happened as well. You have fighters such as Jemele Hill, who is supposed to be fighting for the light heavyweight title later this month. And superstar Sean O'Malley saying, yeah, well, you know, he should have slapped her because she slapped him. It's not a number one when... Now, Dana did say it was wrong, which I applaud him for doing that. But when he said it's wrong, and now you got fighters saying it's right, it's bringing yet a more negative shadow over a sport that already has issues when it comes to domestic violence. Like I said, a lot has gone on this year, including the alleged murder of a young lady on New Year's Eve by former fighter Phil Baroni. You know, all this is happening at the same time. And this is not a good look. And for the longevity of the sport, something that the UFC has stewarded well for quite some time, but for the longevity of the sport, they've got to do something. Something has to happen. Will he be, you know, fired? Depends on how much pressure is put on them to do it. But the longer they go silent, the more trouble they cause. Silence doesn't stop things from happening. It just allows it to fester.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that ESPN and UFC definitely have a deal together. So that's where a lot of those statements are coming from the ESPN editor. Yeah. You definitely don't want to allow or let this be okay. I'm not a fan of seeing a lot of those comments saying, well, she slapped him, either or. It's definitely not right. And even Dana White has come out and stated, listen, it was not right what I did. There should be something behind it. And I personally do agree with a lot of the statements that I'm seeing. The coverage that people like Kyrie Irving have gotten in comparison to Dana White, or even like what Brett Favre hasn't gotten,
yes,
is astronomically ridiculous. It needs to be some kind of balance to it, because right now a lot of these media companies are not looking good, unfortunately, including Stephen A. Smith. So you can take that what you want. Let's move on now. Another sad story, but maybe a positive story. The former UFC lightweight champion Khabib posted a message on his Instagram that seemed to hint that he was leaving MMA while posing for a picture alongside of his teammates. Now, the caption, which was translated later, states, "The year certainly turned out to be a very busy and successful one. Take care of yourself, brothers. I hope my decision is only for the best, and a big hug to you all." Now, at this time, it's not clear if Khabib is going to be leaving the sport immediately or if he's going to be serving some function in Islam's upcoming bout as it pertains to him defending his UFC lightweight title in UFC 284. Now, Khabib ultimately, what you stated this previously, he may have been coach of the year. I mean, his athletes in 2022 had an amazing year, going 19-2. His protege Islam captured the UFC lightweight championship in October, while his cousin Usman became the Bellator lightweight champion. I mean, it's going to be a big miss for the sport. But what are your thoughts on this with him leaving? And do you see this being a permanent stay for Khabib? Or do you see him coming back?
Khabib is a very principled man. And if he's leaving, he's got a really good reason for this. He said that it's for his family, and he's putting his family first. I think not only is it, well, as you stated, it's for his family. I think for anyone specifically, or I should say specifically, it's probably for his mom. When his dad passed, his mom really put pressure on him. She was like, "This was you all's thing. You all did this together. Let it go. He's gone now. Let this chapter of your life end." And that's the reason why he, no matter how much money or it, whatever the UFC threw at him, he would not come back and fight again because of his promise to his mother. For him to stop coaching as well means that he really needs to spend time at home. It's, I can't say that I didn't necessarily see it coming, because as you stated, his cousin brother, Usman, won the Bellator lightweight title. You know who wasn't in his corner? Khabib. You spoke about Islam fighting on UFC 284. According to Russian outlets, you know who's not going to be in his corner? Khabib. So, again, I don't know what's going on, and it may just be the popularity that Khabib has is pulling him so many different directions that he really can't focus the way that he wants to. And with being the coach and being the main coach, that requires a lot of his time and his effort, and he just needs to give it to his family. Does that mean that he would not come back? I mean, this is fight. Nothing is ever final. You know, things could happen where he not only comes back to coach, but comes back to fight. The likelihood is low, at least right now it's low, but you can never say never. I wish him the best going forward. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that whole group, because I said before, yeah, Khabib should be, and a number of people did put him along with Javier, his longtime coach Javier, as the coaches of the year, or co-coaches of the year, or whatever. But I said, I want to see a fighter that wasn't under father's plan. Let me see what Khabib does with them. And now, unfortunately, it looks like we won't get to see that.
Definitely a legend in the sport. It's going to be a loss, but blessings to him and his family. Like you say, he's definitely a man of principle, and he goes out on his own accord, which you can't help but continue to admire. Now, as one leaves, another legend comes in. One of your favorite fighters, Jake Paul, the entertainer and social media term professional boxer, has announced that he has signed an MMA contract with PFL. Now, the terms of the deal weren't disclosed, but PFL chairman Don Davis told ESPN that it will be a multi-fight, multi-year deal. Now, Jake Paul is only 25. He holds a professional boxing record of 6-0 with 4 knockouts. Davis also said, though, that it could take up to a year to see Paul in his first match. But Paul is already calling for free agent Nate Diaz to be his first fight. Now, Paul is actually going to be the first officially signed fighter to the pay-per-view super fight division. And this is going to be a separate division from his regular season roster. He's also accepted the role of head of fighter advocacy at PFL. Now, in this role, Paul stated that he's going to consistently look to assist and recruit the fighters and help them to make the biggest paydays possible. Paul, along with his partner, have become minority partners in the sports brand also. Now, on top of that, it's being stated that Paul's signing could also be the key to keeping Kayla Harrison, and there have been recent rumblings that UFC heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou may have just hinted at making a move to the PFL. Boys, PFL is out here making moves. They look like they're trying to take that number two spot and maybe come for number one spot. What are your thoughts on these moves, Paul signing, and the possibility of Francis Ngannou joining PFL?
Paul's signing was not just a breath of fresh air for the PFL. It was a breath of fresh air for MMA as a whole. We've already seen what he did and is doing as far as boxing is concerned. He is bringing a lot of eyeballs and, for the fighters, a lot of money. Amanda Serrano is a great example of that. She was in my number one fight of the year last year, and setting records on DAZN, and much of that was due to Jake Paul. So, you know, he's shown what he can do there with what they've got going on here in the PFL. That's major. One of the things now, of course, like you said, the terms were undisclosed, but one term that was disclosed is that the fighters under the pay-per-view wing are going to be getting a 50-50 split. That's unheard of in MMA. Like, that is paradigm shifting. And with all of the turmoil that the UFC has going on right now, you already have all this stuff with Dana White. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that has taken place as far as their first card is concerned when we get into our next segment. You know, but with all this turmoil going on, they are really poised to make a big, big splash. As you stated, there have been rumors about Ngannou, including a picture of him during the holidays and one of his family members having a PFL shirt on. We know that Paulo Costa and Jake Paul have been super duper tight, and Costa has been holding out. He was rumored to be fighting Robert Whittaker in Perth, and now that's not happening. You know, and he's coming up on the end of his contract. Ngannou may already be done with his contract. So that there are a lot of moving pieces here that, if they fall into place, the PFL, the 2023 could be the year of the PFL.
Yeah, they've got amazing streaming service rights right now. And on top of that, Jake Paul, whether you like him or not, has continuously said he wants to be an advocate for the fighters. Whether you like the man or not, he's literally bringing some great things to the table for the fighters.
Let me say this about that, though. One thing that did strike me strange regarding all this, it's kind of hard to work for the company and advocate for more pay from the company. That seems like an oxymoron. So that, to me, that moniker, or at least what he's saying, seems more lip service than anything, especially with him being a minority partner now. It behooves him to hold on to as much, you know, of the money, or to make as much of the money as he can. But again, 50-50 split is huge. That in and of itself probably is more than any, well, it's more than anyone has ever done. And probably more than enough to say he's advocating for fighter pay.
No, I mean, I get that. At the same token, though, you kind of do have to look at it. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, yeah, you know, he does want to make all the money that he wants, but he also wants to be taken seriously. if you're trying to get into something where the people who take it seriously the most need to advocate for you, how else would you do it than to advocate for them in the first place? And you're going to do that by becoming one of them and fighting for them at the same time. So you make some great, great points, though, because it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Now, when we come back, we're going to be covering UFC Fight Night 217. The Voices marquee matchup is huge. We're going to be covering FA versus Shaw. And a couple few words on a couple other different things that are going on in the combat sports world. First, we want to take a break, and we want to get you over and see a message from Ozell Brand. Boy's got his Ozell on, but I don't think he's going to show him today.
No, I don't have him on today, but I'm definitely, I did buy another shirt today to match him, so I can keep going around town, you know, doing my thing and leaving people in my wake.
You got the Bruce Leroy glow when you wearing them, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I be picking up stuff and like blam blam, just, you know, flashing lights. But enough of me and all of my wonderfulness. You all see my wonderfulness. Let's hear from Ozell, and we'll be right back.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process, and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals, and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.
I love that spot. Shout out to Will the Soundsmith. We can't call him the voice because you're the voice.
Okay, I like that.
We'll call him Will the Soundsmith. Shout out to our brother and that amazing brand also. Now, Voice. The Voice's marquee matchup. We love it. We get excited for it. This one seems to be huge. Now, with the news of Khabib taking a step back, his younger cousin, Umar, is actually doing the opposite. He looks to remain undefeated when he faces Rayoni Barcelos.
Sorry, Rayoni Barcelos. Nailed it.
Oh, man. At UFC Fight Night 217. This is going to be taking place Saturday at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas. Now, Umar comes into the bout as one of only four active UFC bantamweights with an undefeated record. Now, Barcelos at 17-3, he did win his last bout versus Trevin Jones after dropping two straight for the first time in his career. He's looking to score an upset, coming in as a major underdog. Voice, give us your take on this, and why is this the Voice's marquee matchup this week?
It's the Voice's marquee matchup for what you just said. This is a Nurmagomedov. And whenever you have a Nurmagomedov fighting, you want to pay attention to that fight. This is also the reason why the UFC made this the very first fight on this card. Because of all the craziness that's happened with this card, it really could be the main event, because we didn't speak about that. This card, UFC Vegas 67, was supposed to be headlined by Nassourdine Imavov taking on Kelvin Gastelum. Now, if you don't know who Nassourdine Imavov is, you're not alone. However, he was the A side on this, and the B side, the one who sent Michael Bisping into retirement, the former tough champion, the one who gave Izzy the toughest fight up to that point. Yeah, he got kneed in the face during training, and he got his teeth knocked out and had to have them sewn back in. So it's obvious, or I should say it's understandable, that he's not fighting. But when that's your draw, and you're kind of the setup man for someone else, that makes this, again, a really, really rough start to the year for the UFC. It's like, it's who versus who? Sean Strickland, the guy who just lost twice in a row? I mean, just lost, you know, less than a month ago? That dude? Okay. So, again, the Voice marquee matchup is Umar Nurmagomedov, undefeated. He came from the PFL to the UFC. Both laces, Khabib, was coaching him, he as well as his father Abdulmanap. He's taking on Hione Barcelos, who is a beast. I mean, this man has the full package. He can grapple and he can strike, and he's got endurance and he can take a punch. I mean, Hione Barcelos is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. So much so, I remember seeing a fight of his some years ago, you know, and I was like, dude, every time this dude fights, I want to, you know, watch him fight. And I have. And though he is coming in off of a two fight losing streak, he has beat him to Magomedov before. Now, granted, Saeed is not related to Habib, and nor does he train with him. You know, he's beaten a Magomedov before. He's beat a Dagestani Russian wrestling machine. So it's not out of the ordinary. It's not out of the question to think that he has a chance, even though he is coming in as the underdog. It's going to be very interesting, especially with Habib announcing his retirement as well. That makes this even more compelling, because how is Umar going to react now, not having Habib there with him, knowing that Habib is moving on? You know, it's difficult. Take it from your man, the voice. It's difficult when you have to change up everything. You know, recently the congregation that I was a part of disbanded. That shook my whole world up. Now you're telling me that this person who has been right there beside me the whole time, because Umar is Usman's brother, and these are not just cousins, but they're more like brothers of Habib. Habib calls them brothers. I mean, not because, like, all the Dagestanis call everybody brother, but it's like, these are my brothers. So, you know, they probably have lived in the same house with him, and now that's gone. My father in Abdulmanap, you know, my surrogate father, is gone, and now Habib is gone too. That's a lot. So it bears watching to see, because this will be the first fighter since this announcement has been made to go out there and compete. So it bears watching to see how this goes, because it could be telling for other fighters who fight out of Eagle, not FC, but the Eagle Gym there in Dagestan.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And you have to, I know people want to overlook Barcelos, but he's a five-time Brazilian national wrestling champion. He's lost three bouts, but in those three bouts, he's only been submitted once. And that was in 2014. He's never been knocked out. The other were actually, I believe, unanimous decisions, which was his back-to-back losses. So this definitely presents an opportunity for Barcelos, because he's coming in with literally everything to gain with a win, like you said, especially considering with the current news with Khabib. This is a major opportunity for him.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, his first loss in the UFC was a majority decision, so it wasn't even a unanimous decision. Yeah. And that was against a gang, Timur Valuev. So, yeah, it's the voice of marquee matchup for a reason.
Definitely. Now, I thought that this would have been the voices marquee matchup just based off of the powerhouse that's fighting. Now, Nigerian powerhouse Efe looks to continue his return to dominance, what many say, when he faces the undefeated Stephen Shaw in a 10-round main event. Now, this is going to be taking place inside the Turning Stone Resort Casino in New York City on January 14th. Now, the 28-year-old FA was undefeated in 15 bouts until his unanimous decision loss to Frank Sanchez, which was actually for the WBC Continental Americas and WBO and NABO heavyweight titles. This was October of 2021. Now, since then, he's only had one fight, but he rebounded with a TKO win against Josef Darmos, which was actually late last year. Mm-hmm. Now, he was originally scheduled to face Oscar Rivas, who actually had to pull out due to an eye injury. So Stephen Shaw is actually stepping in as a replacement with only 2 weeks' notice. Shaw, who's actually been a pro fighter since 2013, has actually won 9 in a row, but he's only taken part in one 10-round bout in his career. Voice, what do you think about this fight coming up, and where does FA go with a win? Where does he go with a loss?
Okay, so what I think of this fight is I could see why you would have thought that it would be the voice of marketing match. I mean, you have a Nigerian in F.A. Ajagba in the main event. This is the same man who, if you've ever seen the memes of a fight starting and the opponent just walking out the ring, they were walking out the ring because they were facing F.A. Ajagba. So you have this Nigerian, not Yoruba, you know, it's Igbo, but Nigerian nonetheless, facing Stephen Shaw, who is from St. Louis. He lives in St. Louis. He's from here. He was born in the Loop. I mean, you got the two of the key components of the voice of marquee matchup: Nigerians and St. Louisans. Why is this not the voice of marquee matchup? Well, part of it is because of what you said with the fight being made on such short notice. Now, fortunately for Shaw, who is looked at as being the brighter prospect of the two, nonetheless, he is undefeated, 13 knockouts. Ajagba has had one defeat you spoke about. Less fights is 16, also 13 knockouts. Shaw was already training as well to be on this card. He was supposed to face an Italian undefeated heavyweight and was the B-side. And he goes from being the B-side of a showcase bout to now being the B-side of the main event, which also was supposed to be like a showcase bout. So he really has everything to gain, Shaw that is, in this fight, because Ajagba has already shown that he can be beat. He can be beat over 10 rounds, though you know, Shaw hasn't really gone 10 rounds that much. But he's shown that he can be beat. And Ajagba, where does he go if he wins? He continues to go down the path of a heavyweight who is looking to become a contender and looking to put himself in the conversation of people like Michael Hunter. You know, people, you know, even like, although Danny Dubois is making a bigger name for himself now, but, you know, people along that ilk, that he has to win to do that. A loss would be devastating for his career. You know, it's like, where do you go when you lose to somebody who was the B-side on the co-main event just a couple weeks ago? I mean, that's not a good look at all. Now, could you say, okay, yeah, it was short notice and all that stuff? Yeah, you could, but it still doesn't look good. So Ajagba has everything to lose where Shaw has everything to gain. I can't wait to see.
This is a powerhouse matchup. To give you some insight, F.A. Ajagba is 6'6", 242 pounds. He has a reach of 85 inches. Stephen Shaw is technically small. He is smaller. He's actually 6'4" and currently weighs 235. This is, and they both come in with 13 knockouts. So all they do is knock people out. So it's definitely going to be an exciting fight. If it's not the voice of the marquee matchup, I'm gonna make it Will's fighter tonight. So.
No, it's Will's one to watch.
There you go. Because I ain't done it in so long. So Will's one to watch. I'm not even gonna talk about my man Butenis. That's something else we're definitely gonna talk about. But we're gonna let that go.
We can talk about how all them Philly fans were booing at the end. But no, I can see why you don't want to talk about that.
No. See, I'm gonna say this one thing. You say whatever you want to say about Boots. He went the distance, but that man ran. That Karen ran the whole fight. The whole fight he ran.
He ran the last three rounds. He used excellent movement the rest of the time. Then the last three rounds, he's like, I'm just going to go the distance. I'm not going to throw any punches. I'm just going to go the distance.
If this was a Nigerian fighter, you would be saying, oh, he ran. He ran all over the fight. And your hair would be shining. And your voice would get all super raspy. And you'd be going there. But now it's a Philly fighter. Now, all of a sudden, that wasn't the case. But you know what? That's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had an amazing show. And I know we didn't cover too much. But we have voices one more thing. Wes, you got a couple things that you want to cover, so take us away, bro.
Yeah, so we talked about this off air yesterday. As you get to a certain age, you have the choice of being either an OG or old head. I've been old head-ish about celebrity boxing, and I don't want to be an old head. I want to be an OG. And I'm going to say that KSI is fighting this weekend. We would have covered the fight if not like the main card, or I should say the main boxing match we covered. If there weren't a switch at the last minute like that one, we would have been covering it. Because him fighting Dylan Danis, that was pretty big. Now he's fighting, I don't know, somebody, some YouTuber or whatever. Here, I sound old-headish again, but I don't know who the guy is. And what I do know is that KSI should kill him. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. He says he should have KSI says he should have signed up to fight Woodley. And Woodley told, oh boy, I think it's FaZe or Faze. He was like, kill him because, you know, he's a punk, you know, talking out of his head. He's like, I took the contract. I signed it. I sent it back. And you said nothing. So it is what it is on that. But that's taking place on DAZN this weekend. Also, you have a card on One on Friday. One Championship on Prime will be on Friday. It's primarily a kickboxing bout, which is why we're not really covering it in depth. There is a very nice MMA card, though, with former champion Ongla Nsong taking on Gilberto Galvao, and that's going to be at a catchweight. So definitely worth your time. You know, if you got two TVs, like your man, The Voice, you know, put Prime on one, put The Game on another one, you know, and catch it as you catch it, and you'll enjoy the things that you're able to see. But speaking of One specifically, we wanted to take a moment to really honor the life of Victoria Lee, 18 years old, not even in the prime of life. I mean, really just getting life started. One Championship veteran, had, you know, a couple fights there. And if you've heard me talk about One Championship in the past, I said that the Lees are the first family of fighting in One Championship. Victoria's brother, Christian, is champion. Her sister, Angela, is champion, and really helped to put One Championship on the map. Victoria was following in their footsteps, fighting, and unfortunately has lost the fight as far as life is concerned. We still don't know the details of her passing. We're just now finding out about it in the second week of January, when she died on December 26th. So again, we don't know what's going on. One thing that we do definitely know is that there's pain, there are questions, there's heartache going on in the Lee household and among those who knew and loved Victoria Lee, including the One Championship company. So to all of those who are mourning the loss of Victoria Lee, I know that we are praying for you here on the main card and MTMV Sports. And we're definitely going to miss so much, because I was looking forward to seeing what she was going to do. Was she going to blossom into the same kind of champion that her siblings did? Would she even surpass them? Well, unfortunately, we'll never know. So, again, to all of those who are mourning the loss of Victoria Lee, know that we stand with you.
Definitely. Thank you for that voice. Victoria was an amazing young woman, had a wonderful career ahead of her, much like her brother and her sister. She was actually 3-0 and had taken time off to finish and graduate school, only 18 years old. Definitely. So sending love to her family and everyone connected to her. Amazing words. Thank you for another amazing show. I hate to end the show on such a somber note, but it's definitely a part of life, and we always want to send love, no matter it's MMA, boxing, anywhere. This is all a combat sports family. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Make sure that you visit MTMV Sports. Amazing group of people who love sports just like you. There's articles, there's merchandise, anything that you want. We also, our YouTube page is updated, so now, you know, you all have been asking me about playlists. Everything's broken down into a playlist, so you can see everything from Not the Same to HBCU to anything that you're looking for. It's all there. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. We'll be back next Tuesday, same time, same place. We'll be on time, we promise. Voice, take us out, sir, with your final words.
Until next time, fight the good fight.
Sports fans rejoice. You're listening to My Team, My Voice with MTMV Sports.